It's always interesting when they come to you and they say, hey, we want you to introduce the speaker. Well, I've known this speaker for about 25 years and 8 months. I've known his wife for longer, though. About 9 months longer. Denny Petrillo, otherwise known as Dad to me, is a person who has always brought a solid spiritual upbringing in the household. A story that I always find very interesting is that there's a particular page or maybe a couple pages in his Bible that have some bright red scribble marks all over them. Well, even when I was 2-3 years old, I saw him marking in his Bible and I wanted to do the same. So I marked his Bible with a bright red pen. There's always been a spiritual emphasis in our household, and because that's the case, I always wanted to get into ministry. When I went into Harding and was taking some Bible classes and my report card came home, I had a B in Bible. And I thought it was interesting, and the thing that always stuck with me is my dad said, out of all my other classes, you know, I may have gotten a B in English, and he said, Brett, Petrillos don't get Bs in Bible. Of course, he wasn't being harsh, but the emphasis is on the spiritual. That's more important. This is what our lives are about. When I came here to Bear Valley, there was always a joke that there was a target on my back because I have the president of the school and now his son coming in the school. And, of course, there's a lot of nervousness there with just being here. People always talk about how they're nervous when he's in the room while they're teaching. Well, that's maybe how it's been, you know, the whole life, having a nervousness when it comes to spiritual things. But the good thing is that it's made me a better man. He is the most knowledgeable man I know, by far. He is one of the most respected men that I've ever met. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his son, because I know that opinion is shared among many, many people. He is a person who has done a great, great work for the Lord, and it's always a pleasure to hear him speak and hear the knowledge that he can share with us. And so, introduce Denny Petrillo.
Thank you, Brett. You are not going to be disowned. It had to have been one of the most awful days in David's life. The people that were with him were already used to fleeing from the angry King Saul. But on this particular day, they had been out doing yet one other battle for David. And all of David's family and all of the soldiers that went with David's families were taken captive. They came home to nothing. Everything was gone. And the text says that it had been something that greatly distressed David, but part of the distress was because the people spoke of stoning him. At that particular point in David's life, they had had all that they wanted with David. And they were ready to pick up stones, and they were going to end what they considered to be this fiasco with David right here and there. They were embittered. Every one of them were embittered because they had lost their sons, their wives, their daughters, their possessions. And the text in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6 simply concludes that particular thought of this awful day in David's life, that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, the fact of the matter is, the faith of every single one of us is under assault. Now, there are troubles that we talk about that might impact congregations, troubles that might affect area churches, but it still boils down to each one of us as individuals and deal with the assaults that happen upon our faith, upon our Christianity. And these attacks are vicious. They're continuous. They're intentional. You know, have you watched those programs on like Animal Planet, and you see a lion attacking its prey? You know, the lion is all very courteous and says, "Now this is going to hurt." It's vicious. It's a beast. It's a wild animal. Well, Peter doesn't describe Satan that way by accident. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he wants you to be his next meal. It's continuous in that the battle for our souls is an everyday thing. It's a battle that we deal with all the time because Satan is not backing off. And it's intentional. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we're not ignorant of his schemes. What an interesting word. Schemes. How can I get him? You know, remember the story of Job, how God says, "If you considered my servant Job," and Satan says, "Yeah, you've got a hedge on him every side." How did he know that? Because he'd looked on every side. He taught that angle and this angle and that angle, and I can't get to this guy. But Satan is looking at what angle he can get to us. There's value in Christian fellowship, and I thought it interesting with Wes's sermon last night. And this sermon was done, Wes, way before you preached last night. But when he talked about the power of brotherhood and sisterhood, I want to talk about that there are times when we must stand alone. Yeah, there's strength in numbers. We know that, and that's part of God's plan for sure. But there are those times when, like David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, your only hope is to strengthen yourself in God. You know, we think about not only that event in 1 Samuel chapter 30, but if you backed up to 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David went to the Valley of Elah, how many were there with him now to fight against Goliath? Had a whole army with him, right? He stood alone against Goliath. You think about the Elijahs of the Bible. Men that worked God's plan, but yet having a support group, it wasn't there. What about Moses? How many times was Moses a man that just didn't have the backing? And God was ready to destroy the entire nation of Israel and start all over again just with him. And then we think about Jesus. How many times was Jesus alone? You know, it will be that way with us, and we know it. So how can we best prepare ourselves spiritually? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Developing ourselves personally in a spiritual way. And I want to make three truths briefly about personal spirituality. The first truth is this: personal spirituality is developed and nurtured only through your individual walk with God. What others are doing is irrelevant. Whether they're gaining in their own spirituality or they're declining, that's irrelevant. To your spirituality, what others are doing is irrelevant. Noah was righteous despite the wicked environment. Lot did not allow the evil people of Sodom to corrupt him. You know, sometimes wives fail to grow spiritually because they have non-spiritual husbands. Sometimes husbands fail to grow spiritually because they've got non-spiritual wives. Children don't grow spiritually because they're in a non-spiritual environment in the home. Sometimes people say it's the environment. There's always finger pointing. Somebody else is to blame for the reason why I'm not growing spiritually. What excuse do we use? For you to grow spiritually, a determined effort is going to be required. And there are four areas that you're going to have to focus on if you're going to develop spiritually. First is study. You know, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Even though Timothy was one that had been endowed with a spiritual gift, he still had to study and handle accurately God's word. And so it will be with you. You are about to embark on one of the most challenging study programs found anywhere. Many have testified, though, that it's also the most rewarding study program to be found anywhere. Study of God's word fosters spirituality. And one thing, and Michael Hyde can attest to this, that has always amazed us when we conduct exit interviews at the end of year 2 years, is that there's been through the years those who have said, I don't believe that I have grown closer to God in my 2 years at Bear Valley. It seems like I was more spiritual before I came than I am now. Well, the tests prove that they've increased considerably in Bible knowledge. But somehow or another, there's been a breakdown between understanding how growth in knowing what God has said has also somehow negatively impacted the personal relationship with God. But you see, God knows that your relationship with Him is about to move into a whole new level here. As you immerse yourself in God's Word, your personal spirituality is taking on a whole new form. And you need to understand that. By learning God's Word and memorizing God's Word and thinking about how you apply God's Word to yourself and how you're going to communicate it with others, is that the educational program, the testing, that is bringing you into a close relationship with God, because there's no eternal life without knowing God and without knowing His Son. And so as you embark on this aggressive study of God's Word, power packed into 2 years of time, sometimes there's a disconnect between that I really am growing spiritually, as you know that you're growing intellectually. But your personal spirituality is going to be resting upon a much more solid foundation if it's based upon knowledge of God and His Word, rather than the touchy-feely type of spirituality that is not grounded deep into God's Word. But personal spirituality is also developed through prayer. It is amazing to me how many times through the years that I've had graduates, I've had students that were presently in school, full-time preachers that say, I just don't pray. Maybe at mealtimes, but other than that, I don't pray. Personal spirituality is one that is dependent upon an active prayer life. And if your spirituality is ever going to be what it needs to be, then it's going to require a vigilant prayer life. You know, you think about busy people, and as I study the life of the Apostle Paul, I think, now that's busy. But yet Paul is saying, I'm constantly praying for you. I'm always remembering you in my prayers. Continually reminded of, Paul was a praying man. And so he was a very powerful man spiritually. And so also will we be if we're diligent and vigilant in prayer. And then third, purity. You know, Satan knows how to attack us. And of course, the scriptures identify in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, that lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life are the three categories of which Satan brings us down. But do you find it interesting and informative that two of the three have to do with lust? Our personal purity, both intellectually and physically, are those that are required for us to ever be the kind of spiritual people that we need to be. And so we have to maintain purity. And those are things in this environment today that are certainly being challenged with internet pornography and all of the various other avenues that Satan has used to bring us down in our area of purity. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7, Paul there clearly spells it out, that we have to be sanctified people. And then fourth, obedience. You know, John is one that I love as a writer because he is one of those that I think he doesn't beat around the bush. You know, he says there in 1 John chapter 2 that if you say that you know God, but you don't keep his commandments, liar. That's kind of hard to miss, isn't it? It's pretty clear. But if we say that we know him, then we're going to conduct ourselves like he conducted. We're going to walk as he also walked. That's the kind of spirituality that's developed through obedience, living what it is that we're studying, practicing what it is that we're going to be teaching others. Those four go together: study, prayer, purity, and obedience. One cannot be omitted. And if we truly are going to walk with the holy God, then we need to strive for holiness. We need to immerse ourselves into his word, and we will grow spiritually. We will become more Christ-like with every day. Now, that's our goal. That's my goal for me. That's my wish for you. That you can say, having been here for 2 years, I'm more spiritual than I was when I came. But personal spirituality, second, is most easily seen during times of trial and temptation. You know, the records of history are littered with casualties. Even in the biblical records, we read about the Judases and the Demases of the world. What was Judas given? But everything. To be able to witness with his own eyes the Son of God, the miracles performed, the walking on the water, the healing of the blind, the resurrection, everything with Jesus' ministry, at least, Judas saw. But Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that he loved this present world. That's Demas. Loved this present world. And so he was recorded in Colossians as a fellow worker of Jesus, of Paul in Colossians, but he loved the present world. You know, people couldn't stand the heat, and their faith melted with the trials. That's what happened with Judas. That's what happened with Demas. Well, how about you? How do you deal with trials? And you are entering into another phase of life that's going to have its trials. You know, you say, well, sometimes things don't go well. And the kind of things that don't go well can cause people to abandon their faith, can cause them to walk away from the church. The program here at Bear Valley is a trial of a different kind, but don't be fooled. It is still a trial. You know, if you are coming into Denver from I-70, and you're going 65 miles an hour down the interstate, you come around a curve, and all of a sudden you've got a beautiful vista of the city of Denver. And you can even see downtown, and it's just right there. And then not long after that, there's a flashing sign that says, "Truckers, don't be fooled. You have 6 more miles of dangerous curves and steep grade." But boy, when you look at it, it looks like, man, I'm home free. I've made it through the mountains. But don't be fooled, truckers. Well, don't be fooled, students. Do you think that the day that your application was approved at Bear Valley that Satan said, man, lost another one? No way is he giving up on you. So how do you deal with trials and temptations? James would say that we need to consider it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that trying of our faith produces endurance and patience. And let it have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, even now for a little while, if necessary, you've been burned with various trials." But yet he expected those people, in spite of the trials, to be proof of your faith, he says, verse 7, "more precious than gold." Well, Paul would tell the Corinthians, no temptation is overtaking you with that which is common to man. And God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. When we analyze our own personal spirituality, the way that we deal with trials and temptations will be a very good indicator of where we are spiritually. How do you handle the pressure that you're going to find at Bear Valley? All of a sudden, you've got papers, you've got tests, you've got assignments, you've got books to read, and those deadlines are pressing in. Now, maybe that's an environment that you're used to from previous studies. Maybe it's not. But no matter what, it is something that Satan sees as an open door opportunity to get to you. It's a trial. And so our personal spirituality is going to be reflected in how we handle things here, how we're dealing with those various stresses and pressures that are just a part of this environment. As you learned in orientation in the upperclassmen have heard more than once, this is a 4-year program crammed into 2 years. And that can't happen unless there's some pressure cooker type situations. Your personal spirituality is going to be challenged, but it can be improved and strengthened through the trials that come here. And then third, truth about personal spirituality, it's the only way to eternal life. You know, we can talk the talk all the time about we're in the soul-saving business. Think souls, and that's true, and we are. And while we're devoting our lives to bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, sometimes self can be neglected. Did not the Apostle Paul even come to that reality in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and following? He talks about buffeting his body and making it slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. You see, Paul knew that he could devote himself to the ministry of God and fail to minister to self and lose his own soul. That's why he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching, for in so doing, you secure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. You've got to pay close attention to you. You know, we can't ride on the coattails of others. God doesn't issue group plans or group rates. He's not going to say when you come to the gates of heaven, oh, you were in the Bear Valley class of 2013? Come on in. It just doesn't work that way. Where you are in your own walk with God is going to be that which determines your eternal destiny. Each will face God and be judged on the basis of his or her deeds. You know that judgment scene that we read about in Matthew 25 where you have those who, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and so on. That wasn't any community project going on. That was individual people doing individual things. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged according to the deeds that we've done in the body, whether good or evil. Jesus taught in John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who did the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. We're going to face God on that day of judgment based upon what kind of man of God or woman of God we were. No group plan, no group rates. You know, we're talking about the strength of a church is based upon the strength of its members. And as you develop a strong personal spirituality, and I do the same, then Satan is never going to be able to defeat the church. But we also need to recognize that it does boil down to me. And it does boil down to you. As individuals, personal spirituality, can you, like David, strengthen yourself in God when the trials come into your life? The truth about spirituality is that it requires effort, It is one that is easily seen during times of trial, and then it's the only way to make it to heaven. Let's use this time together to encourage one another to be what God needs us to be and what we need to be if we want to spend eternity with Him. Thank you very much.